up your hymnal, turn with me to page number 294. Page 294. Page number 24.
Page 24. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be here this morning. Good to see all y'all, and good to see some folks back that's been missing in action for a while. And it's just a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Glad for answered prayers, and we have a lot of prayer requests to get to here in just a little bit. But first of all, we'll get to some announcements. So we got a few things going on. I want to read this card. Before I forget it, and it is addressed to Oak Hill, said you were there. You were right there when it mattered most with your help and support. You reached out and gave of your gracious heart, generous heart, and you made more of a difference than you probably ever even realized. I can't even read. It's her fault. Not yours, hers. She started out this morning. I'm going to blame it on you anyway. Thanks for all of your help. I hope the preaching goes better than the reading. Y'all pray for me. It says, "Dear Oak Hill Church family, words can't express what our church family means to us. We thank you most of all for your much-needed prayer and love shown to us during this past few weeks. We thank you for the love offering, visits, food, phone calls, flowers, and cards sent our way. We couldn't have made it without all of you. Love, Leonard and Mary Lou." And we are glad you're able to be back.
Amen. Amen.
All right, old Fred's been missing in action for a while, too. I'm glad he's feeling like being here. He's still kind of got a little hack going on, but it's good to see you. We miss you when you're not here. Okay, I'll get to the announcements, and we'll get to prayer requests. This morning will be a special offering for Brother Walter. Keep Walter, as I know you do, in your prayer requests. He starts his chemo again this Thursday, and so it'll be a pretty good dose, I guess, for first few anyway, huh? So keep him in your prayers. But this morning, we're going to take up a special offering for Brother Walter and his family. Try to help defer some of these medical expenses. Anybody that's ever been through any of this kind of stuff, y'all know how expensive it is, even if you've got insurance. So we appreciate it, and I know Walter and his family does as well. Next Saturday, February the 23rd, will be the VBS seminar, Northern Hills Baptist Church, 6000 Sammy Lane, Texarkana. There won't be one in Little Rock, so if you want to go, it's either this one or Pine Bluff coming up. I would suggest you go to this one. So if you want to go, and if there's enough, you need the van, let us know, and we'll make sure that you can get it. Whatever you need to do there, just let us know. Next Sunday, the 24th, Youth Fund Offering. So keep that in mind. Then March 3rd, we'll have a guest speaker, Brother Raymond Foster. He is a member of and sent out by Second Baptist in Malvern. He's going to speak to us about the MBSF there in Malvern, there at the College of the Ouachitas. And then he's going to preach to us, so I encourage you to come for that. And be much in prayer about what we're going to do with this money that we kind of got freed up, but we've been talking about now since, I think, last October, November sometime. God's opened up several doors. Obviously, we just want to do what God wants us to do, and so be much in prayer, and then plan on coming to the business meeting that night as we will most likely be making a decision at that point. Okay. Nursery attendance this morning, Sam and Donna. Next Sunday, well, Michelle and Holly.
Page number 17.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley. Fire!
everybody. Man, it's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. It's nasty outside and rainy and drizzly and just generally yucky. But man, it's great in here. I look out there and see all those beautiful smiling faces. And the girls still look good after the party last night. They look a lot better than you.
I hope so.
He doesn't have a smile on his face. I don't think he knows I'm talking to him. But we got a song to do for you this morning. We've never done as a choir special before. It's a beautiful old song, has a wonderful old message to it. It's entitled Camping in Canaan Land.
Morning. Hey, boy, our class was full this morning, and I like it. I tell you, if you're not making it to Sunday school, you're missing a blessing. I enjoy our Bible studies. It's good for the heart and the soul, so I encourage you to get up that extra little bit earlier. You'll get a blessing from it. God will reward you, and come to the Bible studies in a Sunday school class. I know that the other classes had good studies as well. I look forward to our class time a lot. Also, Sunday nights are kind of, you know, that way. Wednesday night is a really good study, so I encourage you to come to that as well and be blessed. All right, we're going to be reading a little bit out of the book of Jonah here in a little bit when I get down to it in a few minutes. Hope everyone had a great Valentine's Day. You know, that old man-made holiday where we could spend more money. Now, don't get upset, ladies, until you hear the rest of the story, okay? I think that we should treat each other like that every day, because truly God blesses us with each other, and I know that He's blessed me greatly with my sweet wife, and you know, Valentine's Day should be every day. So thank God for the one that He's given you to spend your life with. They're special all the time. Sometimes maybe I'm special, Ed, but that's what she's stuck with. So no getting rid of me now. All right, Jonah. Now, I hadn't been able to get old Jonah out of my mind all week, or at least most all week. I can't remember exact day that he got to lodged in there. And you know, I freely admit that there's a lot of room and rattles around up in this old noggin of mine, and it's kind of like a maze. Sometimes I have to ponder on things for a while before it can work its way out. And, there's a lot going on in the world, and you know, I freely speak about a lot of that political stuff and rampant sin in the world, and you may be sitting there thinking, what's that got to do with Jonah? Well, I'm going to get to that in just a minute. There's a lot of stuff going on in our nation and around the world that disturbs me greatly, very, very disturbing, and it should be to you as well. I do know who's in control, though, and that's God Almighty. I do also know who was in control of Jonah's situation. Sometimes I think Jonah reminds me of us. It takes us a while sometimes for God to get the message through to us. But he can speak to us very distinctly and very forcibly sometimes if we don't listen. I see in our world and in our culture and in our nation rampant sin and destruction everywhere we look. We've talked a lot about it in different settings and Bible studies and stuff here at this church. There's a lot of things going on in our nation that is very displeasing to God. It's a mess. If you're a Christian, it's all a mess. But here's what I want us to get this morning, and here's what I want to focus on, is if we look at it like that sometimes, we fail to accept our own responsibility in the matter. It all really boils down to our personal choices. We make these choices, and sometimes I think, well, it's my choice, my decision, it affects me, but in all reality, your decisions, my decisions, everybody's decisions and choices affects a multitude of people around us. And that got me to thinking about old Jonah. Old Jonah, he wanted to choose what he wanted to do and failed to realize that it was going to affect a lot of other people. All right, Jonah. God called him, okay? God called Jonah. Now, if you're a born-again believer, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God called you as well to salvation. You can't come to God unless the Spirit draw you, okay? Jonah was a saved man. He believed in God. He had made those choices. And then God called Jonah for a purpose. You know, maybe God hadn't called you to preach or teach or anything like that, but God has a purpose in our lives. If we're not careful, we get so wrapped up in our desires in our lives that we fail to see God's purpose. Jonah was called by God for a purpose, and he accepted the call. Jonah accepted the call, but Jonah also wanted to decide what he wanted to do because he thought he knew better than God did. Now think about that for a minute. He made a personal choice that was going to affect a multitude of other people. That great city of Nineveh, if you go over there and you read the whole book, you'll see that this city was so big that it would take a person 3 days to walk across it. So it was not a small little place. It was a large city. This city was very wicked. It was wicked to the point that God was just literally tired of what was going on down there. And he had purposed in his heart he was going to destroy it. But God is a loving, caring, graceful God. And so he called Jonah. And we're going to see what happened. Now, excuse me. Though Jonah knew Nineveh, okay? He knew what was going on down there. He was very familiar with Nineveh. He knew the wickedness of it. He knew the people that lived there, and he knew what they were doing. And he didn't like it. Jonah didn't like what was going on down there. He knew that they weren't living the way God planned for men to live, and he didn't like what was going on down there, and so he didn't want anything to do with it. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now I want you to look at what was going on there. Jonah went to great lengths at cost to himself. He had to travel down there. Remember, their mode of travel wasn't a big Lincoln Continental or a Cadillac. They had to walk or ride a burro. He was going down there to get transportation away from this city of Nineveh. He went to great lengths to avoid the will of God in his life. Well, preacher, he didn't want to go preach to that evil city. That's right. But you see, God called Jonah to go and carry the word to the wicked city. He had a personal calling from God. We all have a personal call from God into salvation, but we all also have a personal call from God to witness. Well, I can't speak. You're a good preacher. Live it. People read what you do more than what you say anyway. Amen. God called Jonah and he said, go down there and preach against this city. He didn't tell him to go down there and say, y'all doing a great job. He didn't tell Jonah to go down there and pat him on the back and say, it's all going to be okay in the end. He called Jonah to go down there and preach against it. We're going to read a little bit about that. I want you to read the rest of this book. It's not a long read when you get a chance. But Jonah went to great lengths to avoid God's will in his life, which was going to affect a large number of people. Verse 4. Well, before I get to verse 4, Jonah went down there. He paid his passage. He was fleeing God. He got on the ship. They started on their way across the water to Tarshish. Now, we see a lot of things here in the book of Jonah. One thing I want you to know, that you cannot hide from God. You can get on your boat and go somewhere else, or you can even now get on an airplane, fly halfway across the world, and dig yourself a hole and crawl in it. But God knows where you're at and what you're doing. And God can touch you in a way that you'll understand His will on the boat. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Now, you know, these boats they had back then, they call them ships. They weren't very big. I've seen a lot of boats up on Lake Washita that were bigger than what he was on, obviously. People crossed the ocean to Columbus did to discover America. And there's, like I say, a lot of boats more seaworthy up on Lake Ouachita than they had. But they were on that. They were floating around like a bobber on the open ocean. I've been on Lake Ouachita. I love going up there, but I've been on Lake Ouachita when the wind was really bad, and I wish I was somewhere else. I've been on Lake Ouachita one time when I came out from between some islands and was trying to get back to Three Sisters, and when I come around there and the wind blew my boat plumb around, and the waves were so big that you could try to go and you couldn't see over them, and it's kind of spooky bobbing around out there like that. If you ever get yourself in a situation like that, I promise you, you'd rather be somewhere else. Well, God sent this great wind, this mighty tempest on the sea, and this ship that they were on was being tossed to and fro to the point where they were afraid it was going to be broken up and sink. And then in verse 5, the mariners were afraid. Now, these were seasoned seamen. They had seen rough water before, amen. But it was bad. They were afraid, and they cried out every man unto his God, small g, and cast forth the wares of them that were in the sea in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Now, let me read one more. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Now, I want you to get your mind in the mind of Jonah here for just a moment. Jonah, he didn't want to go down to Nineveh so much did he not want to go that he didn't care if he died. Jonah's mind was such that I'm not going to do that, God. I'd just soon to be dead as to do that. Think about that. The ship was about to sink. It was being tossed to and fro, and old Jonah, he went off down to the bottom of it and went to sleep. He didn't care what they were doing to try to save that ship. He didn't care if it floated or sunk. He didn't care. The captain or the shipmaster came down there and said, what are you doing? Everybody up here is praying to their God, small g, okay? Didn't have no power, right? But he came down there to Jonah and he said, arise and call upon thy God, big G God. Maybe he'll save us. Maybe he'll save us. Verse 17. Skip down to 17. Well, I'm going to get there in just a second. All this was going on, Jonah. They were wondering what was going on, and Jonah said, you know, it's me. He finally got down to, it's my fault. This is all my fault. Y'all just throw me into the sea and let me drown. That was his thinking. I'll perish. I won't have to go to Nineveh, and the ship will be okay, and the sea will be flattened out, and they didn't want to do it. They didn't want to be guilty of throwing him into the sea. But eventually they were so afraid that they grabbed old Jonah and they tossed him overboard. And as we would think sometimes, end of the story, right? But I love Paul Harvey back when he was alive, and now the rest of the story. God, in verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, I want you to think about this for just a little bit. Jonah didn't care, as I said, he didn't really care if he died or not. Cast me over. I'll just die, I'll drown, it'll be over with. I won't have to go to Nineveh. Okay? So they cast him over. In Jonah's mind, well, this is it. In a short time, it's going to be over, done with. I'm okay. I'm not worried about them. I believe God. I'm saved. Why should I worry about them? So everything's good, right? I mean, sometimes I think that we get the opinion, you know, I know that I do. I'm ready to go. And so if God strikes me down, all that's happened is I've gotten to go to heaven a little bit quicker than you. And Jonah, I think, had a lot of this same mentality. It's okay. I believe in God. I've trusted God. I'm okay, so just throw me over. I'll be done. I can go on. But God had plans for Jonah. By the way, God has plans for us. God had prepared this great fish. I've heard it said it was a whale. I don't know what it was. It could have been a great white shark for all I know. All I know is that this fish swallowed Jonah whole. It was there. It was ready when they threw him out. I don't know if Jonah even reached the water till this fish jumped up, grabbed him, and swallowed him, and then dove back into the water. Anyway, it swallowed him up. And 3 days. I encourage you to read the rest of the story. But in 3 days, he was in the belly of the fish 3 days before he prayed to God. You think Jonah wanted to go and preach to Nineveh? He didn't want to go. He wanted to die. He said, I'd rather die than to go down there 3 days in the belly of the fish. Now, I've not ever been in the belly of a fish. But I've cut some fish bellies open and it stinks down there. And it's pretty nasty. And there's no telling what all's in the belly of the fish. No, Jonah's down there and he's swimming around in the belly of the fish. He should have died. There's no air. He don't have gills. He can't breathe water. He should have died and he knew he should be dead. But 3 days he's down there in the belly of the fish and he's down there in the water and he says, God's not going to let me die. Okay, God, I'm willing. I'm finally willing to do what you want me to do. What is it? Well, God had done told him. But see, Jonah had to get his heart right to do what God wanted him to do. Listen to me, friend. This world, this nation, this people have to get their hearts right to do what God wants them to do before God is going to heal this land or this world or your situation, whatever it might be. 3 days he was down there. He knew. Jonah knew that God wasn't going to let him die because God had something for him to do, and he prayed to God, and God heard him down there in the depths of the sea. And that old fish, he swam up to the bank, and he spit old Jonah out on dry land. Jonah knew that God had something for him to do. Jonah hated those Ninevites down there. He hated what they stood for. He hated what they were doing. But God loved them. Just like he does us today. Now we can get so wrapped up in what all's going on in the world that we forget how much God does love us. Look, those Ninevites, they were evil people. God was very disgusted with what they were doing to the point that he was ready to destroy them. But because of his grace and his long suffering, he sent one more messenger down there to preach to them. Listen, friend, you might be that one more messenger that's needed in someone's life that you know. You might be that one more voice that someone in this church needs to hear. You might be that one more voice that someone you don't even know needs to hear. Don't let it be 3 days in the belly of the whale before you submit to God's will. Don't put yourself through what Jonah did, because let me tell you something. If God has a purpose for you, if God has a purpose for you, you won't be able to rest until you do it. Because God is in control. He controlled the fish. He controlled Jonah. He controlled the waves. He controlled everything. Jonah was spit out up onto dry land, and he went down to Nineveh. And he preached what God told him to preach. Repent. Turn from your wicked ways. And God will heal your land. Do you hear that? That's what this world needs to hear. But guess what, Oak Hill? You may be the last voice. I thank God I don't believe that's true. There's other good churches out there, and I thank God for them, and I pray for them, and I hope you do too. But listen, God has a purpose. He had a purpose for Jonah. He had a purpose for you. He has a purpose for this church. Seek God's purpose. Jonah went down there and he preached. He told them what God wanted them to hear. Let me tell you something, friend. If you ever get tired of hearing what I preach, I'm telling you what God wants you to hear, because He put it in His Word. The world needs to hear it, not some big mushy stuff. Oh, it's all going to be okay, and it don't matter what you think. That's garbage. Comes straight from Satan. God has a message for this world. And it's that Jesus saves, and it's that no man cometh unto the Father except through Him. And it's that we make a difference when we follow God, not self. Amen. He preached it to him. Well, preacher, I mean, I've witnessed to this, and I've invited this one, I've invited that one, and I know many of you maybe have heard this story. Maybe all of you, I don't know, but I had a good friend that was out of church, and I tried to get him to go to church, and every time I seen him, I would talk to him about going to church and serving God, to the point where he did not want to hear what I said, period. It even, I think, got to the point where he didn't want to see me coming, because he knew what I was going to say, it got to the point where I was doing more harm than good. But you see, God wasn't done with him. I quit bugging him, and somebody else came along and did the same thing. And he's faithful in church today. Amen. There's a guy that worked for me. He's a good friend of mine. Went to church when he was young. Decided that choice again, that he wasn't going. He was not going to church. Basically, what he told me was, they made me go to church when I was young. I ain't going. I don't want to hear it. I still invited him. He quit me. He went to work for another company. The guy that was running that company was a missionary Baptist minister. He finally said, "That's three of y'all in a row. Reckon God's speaking to me." That's what he told me. I said, "Think he might be." He listened. And he's in church faithfully today. Thank God. You see, God has a purpose. God has a plan. I might not get to be the one that personally leads someone to the Lord or gets them back in church, but I have a part to play just like you do. And it's not all about me, and it's not about what I do, and it's not, oh, you know, that preacher down there. No, it's about God. We preached a sermon not too long ago about, to God be the glory. You see, whenever Nineveh repented and they got their heart right, it made God happy. It gave him glory when they followed his word. You see, when Jonah submitted to God's will, God got honor and glory from that. And God used him. So the people of Nineveh, after they were preached, in verse 5, it says, they believed God. That's Jonah chapter 3, by the way. I'm sorry. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. They all repented. You know what? It doesn't matter where it starts. It don't matter where you feel like you fit in. What matters is how our heart reacts to God's word. They believed. They proclaimed a fast. They put on sackcloth from the greatest even to the least. For word came unto the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne. And he laid his robe from off him. And covered him with sackcloth and set in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink. Now think about this for a minute. That's a pretty good fast, is it not? Not even the cattle or the sheep were to be able to eat or drink. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hearts. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger and we perish not? And verse 10 says, and God saw their works. God saw their actions. Let me tell you something, friend. What's truly in your heart is what comes out. What you fill yourself up with is what comes out. If you fill yourself up with hatred and deceit and all these things that God tells us not to, that's what's coming out of you. But if you fill yourself up with the Word of God, with love, that's what comes out. It translates into works. We work because we're saved. We work because that's what God tells us to do. We work. God saw their works. God saw it. Let me say, I just want to say this before I read the rest of that. When you do something good, no one else seems like they see it or notice it. I mean, God sees it. God knows it. Thank you, God, because that's the one that really needs to see it. God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. God blessed the people of Nineveh because they repented and turned away from their evil deeds. And let me tell you something, friend. This goes right down to a personal level. But if the nation of the United States would repent of its evil ways and turn, God will still bless us. But I want you to know something this morning. Oh, we can look at the big picture and we can say, oh, well, it's too big for me. You are responsible for your actions. It starts here. If it don't start in us as individuals, it'll never grow. You got to feed it and water it. And it'll grow. We can look at the big picture and say it's too big, but I think we got to start at the grassroots and say it starts here with me. You know what? If each and every one that's hearing this word preached, whether it's here or via the internet, will apply this to their life and say, it starts with me. God, what do you want me to do? Then it can grow. Then it can spread. I've told y'all this before. I invite people to church all the time. I challenge you. Each and every one of you, I challenge you. This week, invite one person to church. Every one of you. Invite somebody to church. Okay? Will they come? I don't know. But I guarantee you one thing. If you don't invite them, they ain't coming. If they come, thank God they listened. And if they don't, next week, invite one person to church. Everybody. I tell you what, I knew at our former church, I invited 15 people one week. I remember it like it was yesterday. I knew personally I invited 15 people. None of them came. Not one. But there were 12 visitors there that morning, and I didn't know none of them. Amen. Amen. You see, God blesses the effort. It starts right here. I challenge you. Invite somebody to church this week. Just one. Just one. Okay. Invite 10. But make sure you invite one. And let's see how God can work. You don't see this church grow? It starts right here. And it goes from there. And when we do God's will in our life, He will bless our effort. And people's lives will be changed. Jonah was hard-headed. He wanted it his way. God saw to it that he had it his way. And because God had his way in Jonah's life, people's lives were changed. Let God have control of your life and watch other people's lives be changed. Well, preacher, it's easy to do in some things, hard to do in some things. I agree. Some things are easier to do than others. But here's what I want you to know. God wants control of everything in your life. And when you give it to Him, He'll bless you in ways that you can't even imagine. Because He's in control. God wants you to have the good things in life, but God wants you to submit to His will. Don't make God put you in the belly of the fish for 3 days. Listen to God and submit and watch God work. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. I hope and pray that everyone that's hearing this preach does. But if you don't, let me tell you something. This picture of Jonah is also a picture of Jesus Christ being buried in the earth for 3 days and being raised on the third day victorious. Because Jesus is alive today, because of what He did for us on that cross, we have hope. Amen. Jesus gave His life for you. Jesus lives for you. And all you have to do is accept what He's done. The Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what, preacher? Saved from the penalty of sin, my friend. And we're all guilty. That's what Jesus did. Listen, maybe you're here and you are saved. And maybe you're running from God. Maybe God has you in the belly of the fish. There's hope. God heard Jonah's prayer in the belly of the fish under the water. And he answered Jonah's prayer. He'll hear your prayer as well. Submit to God and His will in your life. And watch God work through you. I'm going to ask our pianist and our song leader to come. I ask you to stand with me and bow for a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you at this time, Lord, we're thankful for the good messages that you give us in your word. I'm thankful, Lord, for the calling of the Spirit. Lord, for the drawing of the lost. Lord, as we prayed over and over this week, I pray, Lord, that you soften the hearts of the lost around about us. And if there be any here amongst us today, I just pray the Spirit would convict and that they would be drawn and understand that Jesus saves completely anyone who trusts and believes. Lord, help us as born-again believers to submit to your will in our life. Lord, I pray that your will be done in each and every life here. Help us to be strong. Help us to go forth and proclaim Jesus in this old wicked world we live in, that we might see you work and we might see the power of God through our feeble little efforts. Your will, Lord, be done in each and every heart here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Page 232.